Last week, we began this series talking about Christmas gifts, and we looked at a particular scripture that seemed to speak to us particularly at Christmas, especially because people have found a lot of reasons to complain about Christmas and even the whole Christmas season. And so I want to start again with that scripture that we looked at last week. It's Philippians 4:8, and this is out of the Message Bible. And Philippians 4:8 reads this way. I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. And then he finishes this idea with these three thoughts that we're to fill our minds with and meditate upon. The best. Everybody say the best.
The best.
Not the worst. Say
the beautiful.
Not the ugly. Things to praise. Not things to curse. We're to look for those things that are the best, the most beautiful, and things that are actually praiseworthy, not things that we'd point out and just kind of want to curse. See, our desire in this season is to seek those things out, to seek out those things that are beautiful and the best and will actually even bring praise to Jesus. And we need to do this because there really is a dark side, we could say, kind of an ugly side to the Christmas season. Because Christmas, in many ways, has been hijacked. This most beautiful and holy of seasons has been hijacked by kind of a consumer mentality and companies and organizations and marketers that make it all about money. Really make it all about money. It's kind of Christmas for many has become about making money and spending money, right? All in pursuit of like the ultimate gift and the ultimate decorations, and our house is going to be perfect and we're going to give the best gifts and hopefully get the best gifts as well. And so it's become in many people's minds so much geared around money that is, we could really say that Christmas has been hijacked and has kind of become something of the worst of our culture and something that is an uglier side to this season that I believe that as followers of Jesus, that God is giving us an opportunity to reclaim and to find the gift that would be in Christmas. But listen, I'm going to share with you a couple of numbers. One is this. The last Christmas, the National Retail Federation says the last Christmas alone, just to kind of show you about how money has become so much part of the Christmas season. Last Christmas alone, Americans spent $658 billion in retail stores. $658 billion during the Christmas season. And that number has been growing every single year. Now listen, if somehow that money translated into happiness, man, you know, maybe spending all that money would be worth it. But that is not the case. In fact, a major consumer credit reporting agency did some investigation, went to a lot of Americans and said, okay, tell us about your experience in spending all that money. 56%, over half of Americans said that they spent too much during the holiday season. Over half, 55%, said they felt stressed about their finances during the holidays. Almost a third of Americans said they've gone into debt because of overspending during the Christmas season. And I hate this. 43% of Americans have said this, that the extra expense makes the holidays hard to enjoy. So many Americans have got caught up in this, and it's actually ruining things, not making them better. And that's kind of the ugly, dark side of how our culture chases after Christmas. But they've got it wrong. Christmas is not about money. Christmas is about extravagant generosity. Generosity will sometimes be reflected in gifts that sometimes we do. We go out and spend money. Sometimes we make an investment to be a blessing, to be generous to someone who's in need or someone we really dearly care about. But can I tell you that generosity does not equal money. The very origin of Christmas was what? Was God giving his son to us. That's why we celebrate Christmas in the first place, because of the extravagant generosity of our God. And we read this in one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture, John 3:16. John 3:16 reads this, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Man, we don't often think of that as a Christmas scripture, but right there we see this extravagant generosity of God that had nothing to do with money, but it had to do with giving everything to change our lives, to change the world, came through this extravagant generosity of our God. True generosity is not about money. It is about sacrificially and intentionally giving from a heart of love. I want you to read that with me. True generosity is not about money. It is about giving sacrificially and intentionally from a heart of love. Listen, once Jesus caught a woman being generous, and he used it as a teaching opportunity to talk with his disciples. And I want to look really briefly at that story. It's found in the first verses of Luke 21. And we read this in Luke 21. It says, "While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box." So if you would picture with me that Jesus is kind of like found this little bench in some place situated in the temple area, and there's this line of people lined up to ready to kind of give their gifts, and you know, they're bringing them to the temple, and you've got all these people that are clothed really nicely. You know, they pulled up their gold-plated chariot, you know, and are stepping out with their, you know, big bags of money, and they've got their accountants with them, you know, and they got this wheelbarrow, and they're bringing up their money bags, right? Rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in two small coins. Listen, remember with me here for a moment that, you know, Jesus taught in stories, right? He told stories. He told parables to help us to learn, you know, about, you know, what truth is. This is not a parable. This was Jesus sitting and really watching this lady come, a widow. We don't know how old she was. You know, we kind of maybe imagine that she's this elderly lady coming, but maybe not. Maybe she's a young widow. Maybe she's now become a single mom, not knowing like where the next meal is going to come for her babies, right? We don't know. We just know that she was a widow. And here she comes bringing the very last that she had, because we find that Jesus says this. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more," has given what? "Given more than all the rest of them. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything," has given everything she has. See, Jesus makes this beautiful statement about generosity and extravagant generosity as he looks at this lady and says that the little that she gave, if we were only counting money, right? If we were only counting money, we would say, oh, they gave much more. But see, God does not just look at the amount that we bring. He looks about the spirit in which we bring it and the heart. And so when I said that generosity flows from a heart that gives sacrificially, that gives intentionally, right? That gives out of love. And when we think about that in terms of this woman, she gave sacrificially. It was literally the last that she had. This was truly a sacrifice. She was not giving out of her abundance. She was not giving 10%. She was not giving 20%. She was not tipping God, right? She was like, no, I'm going to give something that is ultimately costly to me. I'm bringing it all. She gave intentionally. She had a decision to make. She said, this is what I have to live on today. Maybe this is what I have to feed my babies. But she had this choice to make, and she decided to get into that line of people who were bringing their offerings. She gave intentionally. See, generosity requires something of our intention, of a planning, of a choice that we make. You know, sometimes somebody knocks on our door and maybe they have a really good cause that they're raising money for. You know, maybe someone has passed away and hey, you know, we're collecting money. Or in Santa Maria, we say, hey, we're having a barbecue, right? We're having a barbecue. That's our fail-safe insurance policy for those who are in Santa Maria, is we just have a barbecue, right? And it's like, man, our hearts are stirred by that. And it's like, man, we want to contribute. We want to give. But sometimes it's just that emotional in the moment. Oh, man, I love that person. Or I want to help that family, so I want to do something. And some of us think, well, that's what being generous is. You know, kind of reaching in and saying, hey, I'll participate in that. Because there's something of my emotions that gets tugged, you know, and, you know, we could put up pictures, you know, of kids right now in this world who are facing starvation, who are facing war, and we could kind of stir up emotions. But let me tell you, true generosity really flows not just from sacrifice, but from our intent. Making a decision and being intentional. Like when we get our paycheck and sitting down and saying, God, this is what you have provided. God, this is what you have given. And actually taking time to think about, God, what am I going to bring? What am I going to give? What am I going to utilize out of this in order to really be generous? So not just waiting for someone to knock on your door, you know, with a story that grabs at your heart, but actually planning and saying, God, I want to be extravagantly generous. She gave sacrificially, she gave intentionally, and she gave out of love. She brought her gifts to the temple because she had a heart after God. And because of her love for the Lord, God, these are my last coins, but I'm giving. Can I tell you that I think that those things are things that Jesus was reflecting on with his disciples about extravagantly, generously living. She gave with extraordinary generosity, but it was not about the money. It was about the state of her heart. It was not about money. It was not about the amount, but she gave even more. So how can we at Christmas time move to this kind of capturing the spirit of true generosity, even during the season of Christmas where so many people have made it about money? I believe that we can gain some insight from what Paul wrote to his spiritual son, Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, you can turn there if you brought your Bible with you, but in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul writes a number of things about money, about greed, and about generosity. lots of different things. And when you have longer, I would love for you to just read that entire chapter, because you're going to find that he talks about how some people have gotten a really warped idea about money. In fact, that's where he talks about that some people have this warped idea that somehow following after God is going to make you rich. That godliness would somehow lead to prosperity. And there's even been churches that have kind of captured, I believe, that idea. And you know what? That is not what God's word tells us. And the Apostle Paul is reminding his son, because there was probably people in the city of Ephesus where Timothy was ministering that had that wrong idea that somehow that chasing after God is going to make me rich. He goes after that and says, no. There are people who are rich. He's going to get to that in a moment. But he says, no, that's not what it's all about. And if you get to verse 10, that's where the Apostle Paul very famously states in verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Doesn't say it's the root of all evil, but all kinds, that there's problems that come with this chasing after money. Do we see that during Christmas? Do we see that, man, people going after money, whether they're going after because they want to make money or they want to receive these amazing gifts, right? We see that, man, it can stir all kinds of the darkest parts of who we are and stir all kinds of greed in our hearts. But 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, as he's kind of wrapping up these ideas, he says this. He says, tell those who are rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money. And I want you to look at this from the eyes of looking at through the lens of Christmas. He says, tell those who are rich, and listen, frankly, those of us that live in Santa Maria, whether you feel, man, I live in the best part of Santa Maria, or maybe I live in the worst parts, or maybe I've got a lot of money in my bank account right now, or I really have very little money in my bank account right now. In the scheme of those who live in the world today, man, we're all wealthy. If we have food on our table and some kind of shelter that we're living in, that we are wealthy in the world's terms. So he's writing to us, and he's writing to us, and we're interpreting this through the eyes of Christmas. Tell those rich in the world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with gifts, so obsessed with making Christmas kind of this idol that we worship rather than Jesus. So obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Man, when you think about all those Christmas gifts that we buy our kids, and man, we want them to like have something really amazing to open, and then we realize that for our kids, a lot of them would rather play with the box, right, that it came in. Right, you remember that when kids are really little? It's pretty cool when they're really little. You know, you can bless them with anything. But listen, it's not too long after Christmas that we're having garage sales, we're having yard sales, we're giving those gifts away because they're here today and they're gone tomorrow. Most of them are cheap and plastic and break anyway. And they're loud and they're noisy and they give us headaches, but it's like, why did I buy that gift? But they're here today and they're gone tomorrow. I think Christmas is a good time to say, yeah, that's a good reflection of all of life, that, man, money comes, money goes. Because in one hand, it's out the other. But then he responds to this, and he says, tell them, instead of being obsessed about money, which is so fleeting, he says, tell them to go after God. And I love this, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage. Who piles on all the goodness, all the love, all the gifts, all the riches we could ever manage. And then if you read this in it, maybe you have another Bible open, and in that phrase, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage, in another translation it says, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Can I tell you that somehow that what we're not talking here about not enjoying Christmas or not giving gifts that make people's face light up or making it the most special and most beautiful and most joy-filled. No, it's just talking about that all those things don't require a lot of money to make those things happen. That because this extravagant generosity is not about money. It's about the sacrificial way of living intentionally. That God wants to pile on all the riches we could ever manage. Why? To bring us joy. To bring us true joy. Then he finishes the idea with this. He says, tell them to go after God, and then read the last bit. To do good, to be rich in helping others, and to be extravagantly generous. It's like he's telling us how to chase after God, even during Christmas season. How do we chase after him? How do we really, really get a hold of God? These three things: to do good, to be rich in helping others, and to be extravagantly generous. And then it says this, this very last thought. If they do that, what will happen? They'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life. And during Christmas, I would say this, by doing good, helping others, and being extravagantly generous, guess what we get a hold of? We get a hold of Christmas that is truly Christmas. Because when people just pour money and go after things with a greedy fashion, what they're getting hold of is Christmas that is not truly Christmas. But when we go after God during this season and realize that there is this gift of generosity that can flow through us, let me tell you, we get a hold of Christmas that is truly Christmas. Do good. Be rich in helping others. Be extravagantly generous. I don't think those things are like a list that has to be followed. I think that those things actually kind of work together. That are describing a heart and describing a person who has captured the beauty of this extravagantly generous way to live. Now, I've seen that reflected in so many ways, and as I've thought even about some illustrations of people who've captured this idea of doing good, of helping others, of being extravagantly generous. You know, I know you've heard the story before, but there's a lady in our church, Rhonda Nelson. If you haven't heard the story of gifts of love that Rhonda had this vision for some time ago that has grown in her heart, but I believe it's just in the next week that Rhonda is going to be going to about 100 different women who are shut-ins, whose lives have been taken different turns, a lot of them near maybe the end of life, and she gets to go and bless them with Christmas gifts and cookies, especially. Yes, help me, Lord, that she goes door to door to these people's homes and brings a gift. And you know what? It's a reflection of this very thing. It is a reflection of someone who is doing good, who is helping others, and is giving extravagantly in such a beautiful way. And what does it do? It transforms hearts. It transforms lives. It transforms situations. Some of the stories and relationships that have come out of gifts of love have been something that has been remarkable and beautiful. And I think of Greg and Tina Follette, who for the last years have led the Angel Tree Ministry, who is serving children in our neighborhood and in our community who have incarcerated parents, whose mom or dad is not able to give them that gift that they would want to give them, and of no fault of the child's, they're left at Christmas time sometimes, you know, without. And man, what Greg and Tina do, it because they don't just go out and, like, you know, find people who will bring a gift, but they throw a party. And I've stepped in and watched these parties and kind of, you know, kind of gone around the edges and met some of these families who are so blessed and so touched and just blessed. Thank you guys, because that is embodying this heart of extraordinary generosity. And you know what? Those two things that I just mentioned have not required a lot of finance or a lot of money. It's just people that have been giving of themselves, who have hearts to embody this, to do good, to help others, to give extraordinarily. But sometimes our generosity is reflected in finance. And I won't embarrass this family this morning. They had no idea that this morning I was going to be talking about generosity. But this morning before service, there was a family who came to me and brought me an envelope and said, in this envelope is some money. And it's a good amount of money. And they said, this money is specifically to be given to families in need at Christmas time, because this might make a difference in a number of families' Christmas stories. Wow. So they had no idea I was going to be talking about generosity. But just within the heart of a family moved by the Lord that really understands that if you want to go after the truth of Christmas and to grab a hold of a Christmas that is a true Christmas, it really has to do with this extraordinary generosity of helping others, being there for them. Sometimes it involves no money at all, and then sometimes God prompts our heart to give, even sacrificially, in a way that would make a difference in others' lives. Tonight, we have an opportunity as we gather. Gathering in the courtyard at 5:30 tonight, because we are going to be going into our neighborhood in a way that some people might say, you know what, I don't know, you know, it's kind of dark, it's, you know, it's like, I'd rather be inside, I'd rather watch Sunday night football, I'd rather, you know, do whatever, but you know what, so some of you, this is a sacrifice, but it's that intentional giving of oneself to be a blessing to others, and we get to go and bless our neighborhood and our community through song. And then inviting people from our neighborhood to come back into our courtyard, where we're going to turn on this beautiful Christmas tree that's out in the courtyard that's going to light up our neighborhood and be available for all to see for blocks around, that just points to Christmas, that reminds people of the love of God who gave the greatest gift, the most extravagant gift in Jesus. This Christmas, I invite you to join me on a journey of rediscovering the Christmas gift of generosity, of generosity. Listen, I want to conclude with a couple of practical things, because I think we have an opportunity as families, and especially as parents that have kids in our homes, to like raise up this next generation in ways that are not just pointing to being greedy, you know, like I want this for Christmas and I want that for Christmas, but like cultivating something different. And so I want to give a couple of practical ideas about how, as God gave of himself and gave of his son, so that we could actually say Emmanuel, God with us, that one of the most beautiful ways of demonstrating generosity is when we are truly with others. So I want to give a couple practical things. And I'm going to invite Pastor Zach to come up and join me and help with these practical kind of demonstrations of what this will be about. But listen, I I'm a little bit of a photographer. I enjoy photography. There's a website that photographers can give away like free images. It's called Unsplash, unsplash.com. You can find me there. Give away a lot of free pictures that people around the world have found use for. It's kind of fun. So I go on there pretty regularly, like to see the photos. And this week, there was somebody that posted a photo, and I want you to put that photo up, Bree. Would you put that photo up? Oh, it's this amazing picture. And as I'm looking at this picture, man, here's this couple, and they're out on this beautiful horse ride on this beach. It looks like sunset. And then I'm looking more closely at this picture. And I'm looking at this picture realizing that this lady, who is probably with the love of her life, that is on a sunset horseback ride at the beach, is looking at her phone. She is looking at her phone. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is crazy. And listen, when we think about the greatest gift that was ever given had to do with God coming and being present with us, I think one of the greatest gifts and a way that we can be extravagantly generous this Christmas is to remember, put our phones away and enjoy each other and be truly present with those who are in our families. Amen? Amen? And so one of the reasons I wanted to bring Pastor Zach up is that, Zach, you actually brought a message to us this summer that had to do with like following after Jesus in a society that is like filled with technology. And is that even possible? Like, can we do that? And you brought us some really great like tips and, of like what we need to remember about our phones, I think would be good to reflect on and remember at Christmas time.
Yeah, so I closed that sermon with 3 points. And the first was this, is that screens need to sleep, mm-hmm. just like we do. And sometimes it's as simple as on your desk at work, you just put it upside down so you can't see it and you can focus on the person sitting at the other side.
That's good.
Or at the dinner table. Because the second point, now screens need to sleep, but dinner is for discussion. There's so few times in...
Did you hear that?
Dinner is for discussion.
It's good.
There's so much going on in all of our lives. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but we're lucky to get a couple nights a week that we're all together sitting at the dinner table. And how unfortunate would it be for us all to be sitting there being somewhere else and not being present? And then the third point was that car rides are for conversation. Once again, there's very few times in our lives where we're all stuck together in a confined environment. We actually can't get away from each other. At least at dinner, you could run away, right? But when you're in a car, you can't get away. But it gives so much opportunity. And I'll be honest, we have a DVD player in our car, but we have a rule that unless the car ride is in excess of 3 hours, there's not going to be a movie along the way.
Whoa.
And we do things like everyone picks a song and everyone gets to pick a song and we all sing that person's song and you can spend a lot of hours. And even if it's a song you don't like, you have to sing along because we're all doing it.
Could be really appropriate at Christmas time.
Yes.
Because then you have to pick a Christmas song. Right? Okay. That's good.
But it's the conversation. It's putting the technology away to allow us to all interact with one another and spend quality time
together. I love it. So listen, this Christmas time, as you're thinking about being with family, think about putting technology aside and really focusing on being with the other. And that may be one of the most extravagant gifts you could ever give, is the gift of your presence, right? The gift of being present with that other individual, with your children and them with you, and cultivating the spirit is one that can really help us with generosity. If you'd like to hear that whole message, we've reposted it actually this morning on our Facebook page. So if you just go to Facebook and search Santa Maria Foursquare, if you're not already on our Facebook page, and we put a link there to that message so you can hear the whole message in its entirety. But man, it was a great word. I know it helped a lot of families. And I think it's great to reflect on that again at Christmas time. And then there's this other second idea about Christmas. And I think, again, especially parents who are wanting to cultivate something other than kind of greed in our children at Christmas season, how can we give wisely? How can we think about, as we like go out and secure presents and do things for our kids? Because this is not about not gift giving, but this is about having the spirit of true generosity. How can we cultivate something like that within our families and, you know, for our kids? And man, Pastor Zach, as I heard him describe even some traditions that they've had in their home, I thought, you know what, this would be worthy of sharing as well.
So a number of years ago, my wife and I just got kind of fed up with the need to get stuff. You know, and how many of you guys feel like it's hard to keep up with your friends at work and you hear about the gifts they give their kids? You know, like, I got each of my kids a new Xbox and a computer and, you know, and a car. And you're like, wow, I sure fell short. So a few years ago, I'd love to claim this idea, but it's not our own. We heard about a family that did this, and they give each of their kids three gifts. It's something to read, something to wear, and something to play with. And so for the last number of years, our kids have gotten three gifts from us. And that's something to read, something to wear, and something to play with. And you know what? They didn't care. And it made Christmas simple. Because as we've been talking about, it's time spent together. It's time being present with one another. And then so this year, we took it to the
next level.
We decided to take it to the next level. And we sat the kids down the other night and we said, hey, you know how we've done gifts over the last number of years? We'd like to do something different this year. Would you guys be okay with it? And we suggested to them no presents.
Whoa.
You won't get any gifts from us this year. But what we'd like to do is take a family trip and go to Knott's Berry Farm and spend the day together.
Woo! Okay, so you gave the kids the option.
The option.
Like, what do you want? Do you want gifts? Or do you want this incredible time? And what did they choose?
So I do have to say there was one question. Will we still get a stocking? So we said, yes, your stocking would still be full. And after that, they unanimously said, let's all go to Knott's Berry Farm.
I love it.
And the thing that's so cool about it is it's what my wife and I are hoping for. It's not just a gift. We're still giving them a gift. But what we really want to give them is an experience that they will remember long after the video game would have gotten boring, right? We wanna create a memory for our family.
That's awesome. Zach, thank you. Would you say thank you to Pastor Zach? I love those ideas of simplifying the giving and making it something that really reflects generosity, that really reflects something of a generous spirit that pulls people together, right? You know, rather than reflecting on the greed and the darker sides of the Christmas season, really that reflects the heart of God who gave everything for us. And I believe as we kind of cultivate these kinds of ideas, not that we don't give gifts, but that we give them with a different spirit, and we give with that heart that says we really want to do good, to help others, and to be extravagantly generous with ourselves, not just with money. Man, that I think we're going to capture something of that truth of what Christmas is really about. Amen. Amen.